Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to this, the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. The podcast about rugby doesn't take yourself or the game too seriously. Coincidentally, also the only rugby podcast to be with you 52 weeks a year. Well, Rugby Dungeon as well. But 52 weeks a year. Thank you, Phil. Thank you. This week we'll be talking, Women's Rugby World Cup final. We'll be talking Bledisloe Cup aye. But most importantly, the Premiership returns. Talking of returning, I'm here with Phil. Hello, Phil.
Hello, Jonathan.
And down the line, all the way from a shipping container in Greece, it's Tim. Hello, Timothy.
Well, they're very good. I think Greece is probably where most referees, TMO shipping containers come from. They're big on their shipping down here.
Big time, the Greeks, aren't they? Big time.
Big time. Yassas.
Oh, what does that even mean? Big time in Greek. In Greek.
Yeah. And I'd also point out that the Pro 14 starts this weekend as well, which we're obviously equally excited about.
Yeah, rugby returns. It's great, isn't it? I always think of like Bank Holiday August as get the summer out of the way now. That is now done. I'm going to be back into jeans and gilets. and it's, you know, you get that feeling when the NFL comes back on. X Factor's advertised on TV. That's always like, I'm not looking forward to X Factor, but it's one of those tells that rugby is nearby.
It's a signal, isn't it?
It is. Ah, yes.
I'm very good times. Excited.
So what do you want to talk about, gents? Shall we go for Women's World Cup first, Bledisloe 2? Shall we talk about the upcoming Premiership? What do you want to do?
I just think exactly what you said. The bank holiday weekend is out the way. The excitement is going to build over the next few days towards Friday's return of domestic rugby in the United Kingdom and Ireland. Let's carry that wave of excitement. Let's tuck straight into it.
Awesome. Right, well, I'll start with this then. I was at Sail Sharks this week, gents.
Of course you were.
They are very eager to get going, let me tell you.
They've got a tough first fixture.
It's in their hands, though, isn't it? It's completely in their hands. They've got four games.
Can I just pick you up on one thing there? I want to know the Premiership or Pro 14 side that is not eager to get going. which side is not eager to get going?
Oh, I think that's a good question. So I would say the side's not eager to get going will be Worcester, because they'll just be panicking now. They've got a new coach in. They have rotated their fly half position again, so they've got no real stability there. And I think Pro 14 wise, they don't have the same kind of worry as the Premiership, because of course they can't get relegated. But you can't think that the Dragons are looking forward to this season.
No, they've not had a good pre-season. The two South African teams as well probably would have liked a little bit more time.
Any time, really.
Yeah. But besides those outliers, I think everyone else is raring to go. And particularly in the Premiership, there are so many teams who will be vying for that top four spot.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what? One thing I'm very aware of is that there are a couple of teams, in fact, probably more than a couple, who we've not actually covered because we didn't mathematically organise our sort of club close-ups.
I didn't really want to say anything, but when we were doing one team from each league a week and there's 6 weeks available, the math didn't quite fit.
I just assumed we'd do extra podcasts. We still can do extra podcasts.
You're right, we can do.
Well, I'll tell you what. So how about for the Avicii Premiership, we try and set it to 1 minute, just a one comment each, and we just go down the league, then into the fixtures, and then we can then maybe we can have 2 minutes for Wasps and for Worcester, who we've not actually spent any time on.
One comment each on what?
Well, just our feelings about that side going into the new season, just sort of gut instinct feel.
Okay then.
Okay, let me get up the table from last year.
Yeah.
So, top of the table last year were Wasps.
I know. Why do we do it this way? Kind of like higher or lower? Where do we think they're all going to finish?
Oh, I quite like that as we go down. All yeah, right. And we can. Yeah, go on.
So top of the table.
Top of the table.
I like the fact we're just dispelling any myth anyone might have had that we prepare for this podcast.
Well, we did have a little bit of a plan thrown together on WhatsApp, but we seem to have just completely ignored it so far.
And also, all I do is think about rugby. So in a way, I'm always preparing.
Yes, exactly. You're never off duty.
Exactly right.
Right. So last season, Wasps finished top of the league on points difference ahead of... sorry, it wasn't on points difference. It was on wins ahead of Exeter Chiefs with 84 points. Higher or lower?
Lower.
Wasps. I also... Yeah, go on, JB.
Wasps will not finish top of the table this year. I think they're in for a really hard year.
Because we said this last year, and it didn't happen.
No, it didn't. I just think they are. I mean, Wasps in some ways are quite like Sale, which is... They've got a lot of top end talent.
And then, how have you managed to make a chat about Wasps get back to Sale?
Well, because I've been thinking about Wasps a lot, and they've got a really good like top end 15. There's no two ways about that. Probably, you know, as 15s go, it's probably the second or third strongest in the league. But what worries me is that level underneath. And if they don't keep everyone or a lot of people fit, I think they're really going to suffer. And Curtly Beale's gone.
I think losing Curtly Beale is big. We said this the year before, though, that losing Charles Pietau would be big. And it wasn't as big as we thought it was. Losing Curtly Beale, they haven't quite replaced Curtly Beale, though, have they? They brought in Juan de Jong and... I can't remember his name.
Lovu Balavu.
Lovu Balavu, yes.
Who is that?
Fijian, meaty Fijian centre.
Yeah. Who's been playing in France for the past few years.
Oh, right. That's cool. Yeah, I just don't think they're going to finish as high up. And I think last year they had so much talent, sometimes they weren't quite as good a team as they could have been, and the talent covered it up.
Yeah. I think I would generally agree with you. I think they've always had the ability in the backs. Their pack have been very well drilled under Dai Young, but perhaps don't have the same star power that the backs have.
Yeah, completely agree.
And if they're missing a few people, that's where they'll struggle.
Yeah, that's
well, I'm gonna chuck into the mix here. Tommy Taylor's out till the new year.
Ooh.
Willie LaRue is not fit to start the season. Mm. They've got a couple of other injuries. They have recruited Marcus Watson. I actually don't think they're going to be that much worse off personnel-wise than they were this time last year. But I do think they'll finish top four, but I don't think they'll finish top.
Yeah,
I would go with that. I think they will finish top four.
Does anyone disagree Saracens will finish top?
Or possibly Exeter.
I think Saracens then Exeter.
Hard to say.
Because Exeter haven't really improved, have they? I mean, they've got a second row they bought in from. He's had one game at Worcester and one game at the Kings. And by this time next year, he'll probably be the best second row in the league.
But it's not about, for Exeter, it's not necessarily about the personnel they change. It's about the cohesiveness of the unit, and they've got another year under their belt, and they did it last time, and they know what it takes to get there and win it. So I actually think not having massive changes to their personnel is probably an extra strength for Exeter.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
They got Matt Kovesic in the back row, and added Nick, a little something.
Nick
Campagnaro,
White.
I think we're going to see a lot of this year.
Yeah.
I think he hasn't really done anything in the Avicii so far, and I think this could be his year. Dolman is also, he missed most of last year, and he's a really, Rob Baxter loves that guy, so that's almost like having a new player.
I think he's injured again, mate.
He played this weekend against Cardiff.
Oh, is he back then?
He's back.
Yeah, because he had the ankle injury at the end of the season.
Yeah,
he came back from injury only to get injured again.
Yeah.
Mm. So, I just don't think I think second. Rexter, was it Saracens finishing top?
I can go with that. The problem that these guys will have is trying to fight both fronts. Yes. Trying to fight Europe and the Premiership. Particularly Saracens, who lose half their team to England, who they've got to manage, and they've got to rest players. and fight both those fronts.
Can you work out why they've signed Matt Kvesic? And this is not a knock on Matt Kvesic. I mean, how does Matt Kvesic fit into what they do?
Well, they. I mean, I think he's there again this season. But I thought Julian Salvi was going to be retiring, but he isn't. But
yeah, he was injured a lot of last year, wasn't he?
He was injured a lot of last year. But so I think it's just that role.
Yeah.
That they're filling probably. Julian Salvi's on the way down, and they're I think Rob Baxter's hoping he will have got Matt Kvesic below what his actual value is, because I don't think his stock's anywhere near as high as it used to be.
No, but don't they like playing Armand at seven? And then Ewers is going to be fit again. They've got Simmons to look after. They've got Waldrum. They've got all these.
But what Phil just said. They're going to be battling on both fronts.
Yeah.
He's just completely different, isn't he? I mean, maybe that's what they want. They want the option.
He is similar. He's more similar to Salvi, who was injured last year, but the year before that, Salvi was excellent.
Yeah, didn't he have, like, some ridiculous stat on tackles or turnover, Salvi, one year? I'm sure he's got, like... I'm sure either this year or last year he had one of the top tackle percentages in the whole Premiership.
Probably the year before, then.
Yeah. So, we're saying extra second, Saracens top.
So they were second. I could imagine them being about the same.
Yeah, I would go with that. On the balance of probability, I could easily see it being the other way around, though.
I could see
Exeter slipping out because the chasing pack are going to be improved. Bath and Leicester.
Bath and Leicester, definitely.
Right, I'm not buying this one bit, actually.
On either of them?
No. Maybe Bath. No, actually, no.
With regards to Leicester, hold on. A fit Matt Timur, who hardly played.
Yeah.
A fit Manu Tuilagi, if he stays fit.
Come on.
Hold on. That is potentially the best midfield in the entire Premiership, and could release the someone like Johnny May and Talusa Vianu.
Anyone else?
Potentially an electric. Yeah,
Matthew Tate, maybe.
Anyone else? Come on, boys.
Who's that Australian sevens player they brought in?
This is poor.
Nick Maloof.
Brady's going to get, what do you reckon, 20 odd tries?
Yeah,
smash
sure.
Smash it this year. two tries
every game he plays.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a pretty good strike rate, mate.
That's a potential. I think Leicester are going to have improved significantly. I like the way they're shaping up.
Me too.
So I actually think the George Ford move makes everybody worse. So Bath, at times last year, were pretty much relying on George Ford, and then he'd let them down. Then he moves over to Leicester. At a time when Leicester have got two fly halves who were seriously good. I mean, Freddie Burns, towards the end of last year, might have been the Premiership's form fly half. And then Owen Williams, who was rated so highly that Gloucester are paying a king's ransom to get him down to the King's home. So
to be their backup fly off.
Well, who knows? But I don't think Leicester have adequately replaced the guys that they've lost. So Beetham's gone, he was very, very good. They've let Jack Roberts
Johnny
go.
May.
Yeah, that's a good shout. Everyone's going to laugh at me when I say Jack Roberts, but he was fit. And the thing they don't have is fit players.
Well, they do right now. In 3 weeks' time, let's review that. Because looking at that Leicester team, I think if they can keep everyone fit for the majority of the season, they'll be real contenders on both fronts. I think the Premiership and in Europe, in all honesty.
Yeah. I don't think that their number eight options are good enough. I like Sione Calamifoni. I remember him when he was at Nottingham, and I've got a lot of time for the guy. And he was number eight at Nottingham. He played mostly at six at Gloucester. And that Mapalangi, is it? Is a promising player, Tongan guy?
Yeah. Back rower.
Mapalangi.
But if you want to be a title contender, I think it's a really important position. Look at Nathan Hughes, Billy Vunipola, Thomas Waldrum.
Calamifoni isn't those guys. This guy who I'm not going to pronounce his name isn't one of those guys.
No.
Nick Maloof is not one of those guys out on the wing. The only real star power that they've signed, and to be fair, George Ford's about as star powery as you get, is Johnny May.
Yeah, Johnny May and George Ford are genuine star power.
And neither of them are particularly Leicester-ish.
But their two centres played combined about an hour of rugby last season.
And if it happens again, they are so screwed.
Yeah, if that happens again, they'll be looking for another coach.
So hold on, yeah. So Tuilagi stays fit, Tamua gets a full season under his belt, and Mulipola is a front one of their frontline options at prop. And I think the Leicester side changes instantly.
Agreed.
And
I agree
massively.
With that.
I hope you're right. I mean, I want us to see the best version of Leicester we can see. I just don't think you will. And also, you know, Matt O'Connor's going to have time to kind of bed in. Well, I suppose he had the whole off season, but it isn't that easy.
We have our very first review podcast 6 weeks ago. We did actually review Leicester in detail. So if people want more on this, go back. So higher or lower, they finished fourth last year.
Lower.
I think the same or higher.
Wow.
Fourth or third. I'll say same. I'll say as they were.
Yeah, stick. Okay.
That now this is basically, we should just get all the names of the other teams until about 12th, 11th and 12th.
Yeah.
And just draw lots now because nobody knows. This is the tightest season I think I can ever remember.
So hold on, we've said the top four is going to be the same pretty much. So yeah. Bath are going to miss out again is what we're saying.
100%.
I think they probably will do. They could really push for it, but just the quality in that top four, I can't quite see it.
Yeah, and everyone's going to be beating each other. So you've got to be kind of... This is why I don't think you're right on Leicester. I think the top three are probably head and shoulders above everyone else. Maybe
which the points in the table signified that last year. They were 11 points clear, those top three.
Now, I can see Wasps kind of separating themselves from the top two a little bit, dropping down. But they'll still be clear of fourth by some way. And then everyone else will be beating each other on a regular basis. And you will not know, you know, Gloucester Sale or, you know, a Harlequins versus Newcastle. God knows.
A lot of those games could well go with the home team.
Yeah.
Home advantage. Because you're right, I think fifth down to probably 10th, the much of a muchness.
Yeah, completely agree. Every team has got some superb strength. It's just what team shows up on that day and what kind of game they decide to play.
Okay, so we've picked our top four. Why don't we just pick our relegation team then?
Yeah, okay. Worcester. No, I don't even like that. I don't even like that pick. So, Worcester, for me, have got some really nice pieces.
Yeah.
I think they've got big, powerful backs. They were on display nicely towards the end of the season when they started running in tries against, you know, admittedly Bristol. But, you know, they were still pretty good.
Yeah.
And the plastic pitch helps as well. So it allows them at least some consistency in the way they want to play. The fly-half situation is interesting. I think they've pulled in some kid from Northampton.
Sam Olver,
yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone know anything about him?
He played for them in their preseason game this weekend, just gone. I don't know much else other than that, to be honest.
Well, I sincerely hope Sam Olver turns out to be a Willie Beeman-type story. But I just don't see it. I mean, one preseason game, and you know the guy they rest all their hope on is Hugard, however you say his name.
Well, it's more than just Hugard. Big Ben Teo as well.
Everyone, but I'd say it's the whole back line bar fly half.
Yeah, because that back line is pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is. But they've been battling for a fly half for what feels like years now.
Yeah.
So, unless Hugo's going to be mispassing straight to Ben Teo, and it's not a terrible idea.
I mean, we're in an era, aren't we, where we've the merry-go-round of these fly halves that go to every club because they never quite make it at that club. Shane Geraghty, Ryan Lamb, Andy Goode did make it at the clubs. I don't mean him, but that merry-go-round, we don't seem to have that fly half, the sort of odd fly halves that just pop up and cycle around all the different clubs.
Well, I'm going to tell you something to blow your mind now, Tim. I think I'm right in saying the Premiership clubs this season, this opening weekend, nine of them will start with new fly halves.
Wow.
Potentially.
Does that... So...
But only because they've moved from one club to another.
That's exactly...
Which is what I was kind of saying there.
Yeah, there's the flip from Leicester and Bath.
Yeah, it's two. There's Owen Williams.
Gloucester potentially have got Owen Williams.
Yeah.
Sale.
Three.
Might.
Toby Flood, Newcastle. Four.
Yeah, who's an old new player.
Catrick Haylis at
Harlequins.
Harlequins. Sale. They're not. I don't think they'll be with James O'Connor. He isn't fit, so he will be staying. But James O'Connor will be 10 at some point, I'd imagine. Try to think.
Northampton have got Piers Francis.
Yeah. Or Harry Mullender.
So there we go. So what we've got is the fly halves that have been brought into the league are from outside. They're not. They've given up on the merry-go-round of the usual suspects.
Yeah. I think if we carry on going on this merry-go-round until we find something which just kind of fits what you're saying, we'll go with that, Tim. Yeah. You are right. You don't have the old head who can just kind of rotate around. Like Ryan Lamb, who's finally gone to La Rochelle.
Is that where he's gone?
Yeah.
Wow.
So those, I think, will be the two bottom teams, i.e. Worcester and London Irish.
Come on, but that's sitting on the fence. Who's going down? Let's call it now.
I don't want to say Irish because I like them so much. I just can't see them being strong enough.
I'm saying London Irish. I will say that I think that... there's a couple of guys that people may not have heard of that I think might be surprise packages. Mike Coleman in the back row is a really tough cookie. Watch out for him. I think their scrum half is probably the strongest position London Irish have got.
Scott Steele?
Steele, McKibben and Meehan. Three really good scrum halves. Three really solid scrum halves. But, again, fly half, James Marshall. It's a bit of an unknown quantity. And also, Tommy Bell is a kicking fullback. It'll be good for Phil's fantasy rugby draft team, but I don't know. I don't think they've got enough quality to stay up.
Yeah, I mean, the guy who kind of sticks in my mind is Tikaratuma. If that's your starting answer, he's a good squad player.
He won't be starting it with Kieran Hearn, the Canadian, and Mol Crone. But that, there you go. That, I think that says everything.
Yeah, okay.
Well, Johnny Williams possibly there, but those centres are not good enough.
Luke McLean as well. Is an option for 12.
I mean, I remember watching him at the AJ Bell carrying water and kicking the balls to the fans.
Yeah. I think you might, my money's, it's on those two.
If Irish, I was a bet, I hate to say it, I'm calling Irish going down.
Yeah. I mean, unless someone has a complete implosion. I mean, you can see Gloucester doing that, can't you? Or, you know, somewhat. I mean, to be fair, you can see Sale doing that. If they have a big injury crisis,
yeah.
I mean, they're only ever two or three injuries away from losing a game.
Oh yeah.
Even now.
Well, last season when fly half gate, when Sam James was playing fly half and Addison slotted into the centre and was kicking sticks.
Mm.
Both of which can do it, but not what you want. Yeah.
So we're saying on balance what we're saying. So we've got one sitting on the fence. I'm saying Irish. And Phil, your casting vote is?
I think Irish, I think. But I'm expecting this to go down to the very latter part of the season. So the last couple of years, it's been decided relatively early.
Yeah.
Say probably kind of four of the last 5 years, you've known by Christmas who's going to go down. This year, I think it will only be the last few weeks when we'll know, because every team will get some good wins under their belt.
I don't think they're going to put up as much of a fight as Bristol, weirdly.
Do you not?
No, just look at the two teams. I think Bristol were stronger when they came up.
I think Irish, from what I've seen, have got the better kind of team spirit and unity.
I'll go with that, definitely.
So,
well, they've got Dr. Venter. It's got a big part to play there. Nick Kennedy.
Yeah. I mean, I sincerely do hope that they do well, but it's very hard to see where they're getting their wins from.
Just on
their front row, when it gets ugly in December, I think they could pick up some wins. They've got a really good front row.
They have. I agree with that. Dr. Venter, this weekend, so Dr. Venter, one of his current roles is defense and exit coach, I think that's his title. For the Springboks.
Now, interesting, is exit coach clearing your lines, or is that kind of deal when they do corporate, was it reconciliation, or corporate streamlining, and they get someone to do some exits?
P45s for these gentlemen, please.
Exactly.
I think it's more clearing the line, because I was watching them this weekend against Argentina. some of their clearing plays were so well orchestrated and so efficient. It was brilliant to watch. It was beautiful to watch.
Yeah. Do you want to move on to the championship then? Because I kind of feel like we've done our Premiership stint.
Well, let's just do the six fixtures for this weekend.
Okay.
No, let's do it at the end.
Rattle through them.
So we're not doing it at the end?
Well, all I would say is I haven't watched a minute of rugby in last week because I've been on holiday. So I might as well leave you two to do rugby championship.
Okay, cool. Well, yeah, let's wrap up the fixtures then.
All right, and go on, go for it.
So, Friday night, the kickoff game. Tim, do you know which one is on BT Sport? I assume it'll be Gloucester Exeter.
Yes, I think it is.
So
I should know that straight off, shouldn't I?
it is Gloucester Exeter, yes.
7:45. There's Newcastle Worcester and Gloucester Exeter. So Newcastle at home to Worcester. I think that's going to be a home win.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to see some of the new combinations that Newcastle can put in. We'll get to see who their first choice centre partnership is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they've got some real options there.
That back line could be electric.
Yeah.
Especially at home. So, Newcastle-Worcester. That's going to be a high-scoring game, though.
Yeah. Plastic pitch.
Both teams know how to use it.
For fantasy rugby draft, this could be a big one.
It could be.
Yeah. You want players like DTH van der Merwe?
Well, he's injured, I think.
Is he?
Yeah. So you want guys like I've got, like my fifth-round picks or fourth-round picks, Sonotti. That's the sort of guy you want.
Sonotti. If he's fit, he will be very, very dangerous, actually.
It's going to be a narrow win to Newcastle. I don't think they're going to hit their straps early doors. It's going to take a few weeks for them to bed in, so give me a narrow Newcastle win.
Give me Newcastle by 10 points.
Cool.
I think it'll be a comfortable Newcastle win. Worcester have lost Valra Parva Ruskin, let's not forget. I think their front row is going to be possibly like the Aussie scrum at times on roller skates.
Gloucester, Exeter.
Now,
do you remember Gloucester won on the opening day of the season with a ridiculous outlier performance?
No, they didn't.
As it turned out last year.
Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah, Matt Scott got a brace. Was that 2 years ago?
No. Last year they threw it away against Leicester, opening game of the season.
Oh, yes, of course. No, they went ahead and then, threw it away. It was a draw.
Leicester scored
end,
three driving mauls, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Matt Scott did score two tries.
Yeah.
So that's going to be an interesting one because I really like the Gloucester back line when they start firing and they've got Burns playing fly half and they use Atkinson at 12. I think they look really good. Trinder's a cracking player.
Woodward and Marshall.
Oh, crikey.
Two great players.
Whoever else that they want to play on the other wing. How are they going to fit in their new highly paid fly half, though? That's what I want to know. And Matt Scott, he'll want a game at some point.
Yeah, and Trinder will want a game.
Yeah, so I'm just looking forward to seeing what sort of team that they put out more than anything else.
Yeah.
That said, there is a bit of turmoil because Ackerman's in. Again, he'll need time to settle down. Exeter, and he'll steamroll them.
And did you see, I think they had quite a good performance, didn't they, in their pre-season game?
They've had a few good performances.
Comfortably beat quite a good side, was it?
They beat Scarlets. They've comfortably
Scarlets.
Northampton smashed Ulster, which the less said about that, the better, by 50-odd points.
Mm.
Gloucester comfortably beat Scarlets.
Hmm. Still Exeter, though.
I'm with you. I am quite optimistic for Gloucester this year. I think not this year, but I think they'll have a good year.
Yes.
One thing for Exeter, Slade's been lining up in pre-season at 10.
Why? they did this last year and it cost them four games.
it did.
But
they've got to make the plunge eventually.
No, they don't.
Steenson, it will not last forever.
Mate, it will not be Slade. When they make that switch, it will not be Slade. It'll be Simmons or... No, it will be Simmons. It'll be Simmons and Devoto. Even when Slade plays a relief guy. It's Devoto that takes, does all the hard work, does all the clearing, takes responsibility. It will not be Slade.
We'll see.
We will see. And just want to confirm, it is Gloucester Rugby versus Exeter Chiefs, 7 o'clock, the programme gets underway on BT Sport 1 or BT Sport 4K UHD.
4K, wow.
And the other live games over the weekend, 3:30 on Saturday, Saracens v Saints, and then followed by, 1:30 kickoff. I'm looking at the details, and it's automatically changing the times to the local time in Greece. 1:30 kickoff programme starts, Saracens v Northampton, and 4:15 London Irish v Quins. And then the one I'll be working at, Leicester v Bath on Sunday,
which is probably a good one for our pick of the week then.
I reckon it might be.
Which is exactly what you can win when you bet with LeoVegas. They love their rugby, they sponsor Las Asiders, but more importantly, they sponsor us. So, let's have a think about Leicester versus Bath, gents.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. So, Leicester obviously at home. Leicester, judging by their pre-season lineups, will have pretty much all of their stars available. So, Ford, Tamua, Tuolagi, Johnny May, Talusa Vianu, Ben Youngs, all available.
Strong.
Very, very strong. International caliber backline.
Whereas Bath, is everyone available? I mean, Tulupe Falapatel presumably won't be around.
It'll be Khan Fotouli, Billy Burns, Benny Tapps. Outside centre, not so sure. I don't know if Jonathan Joseph will be available. He's been injured a bit, has he?
I'm not sure. What is the story with the Lions guys?
Well, some of them sort of like got voluntary extra holiday, haven't they?
Well, it's on a case-by-case basis. Mm. So the club that's been affected most is Saracens. And yep. Pat Sanderson said it's on a player-by-player basis based on how much they played and the exertion that it took out of them. So the guys that were involved a lot, you probably won't see for a few weeks. But I imagine George Cruz, for example, will be involved this weekend.
Yeah, so Falatel for Bath would seem a little bit unfair. But with him
he won't.
But with him not being English, do they care?
he's contracted.
Yeah.
Got to get your money's worth. Liam Williams as well. He's contracted. Got to get their money's worth.
So, I've got a feeling that even though I was negative on Leicester before, I'm more negative on Bath.
Hmm.
So
you see, they had a crazy injury, masses of injuries last year, which I don't know if. You kind of would imagine they've got to be better than they were last year, and they finished fifth.
Mm.
Yeah.
I just don't... You talk about the best 15 they can put out. It's just not that impressive.
Who?
Oh, I disagree with that.
Yeah, I do disagree with that.
All right, so if you look at the two teams that are lining up, right, at fly half, well, we all know which fly half that they prefer to have.
We know which fly half Leicester would prefer to have.
Yeah, so if you go 10 and 12 and Tamua's playing, Ford and Tamua as a creative combination, once they get their act together, will be frightening.
Yeah.
I mean, does that frighten you more than Benny Tapps and Freddie Burns?
It does. Well, I think Leicester, that back line could be the most exciting in the league.
And then,
that doesn't mean that the Bath lineup isn't exciting.
Bath's back row... maybe not this weekend, like you say, Tulupe Falatel may be out, but Sam Underhill and Matt Garvey, you've got Francois Lowe.
Yeah.
Tulupe Falatel.
Have they got Francois Lowe? Is he not in South Africa?
He's not been playing. I don't think he's in the squad as far as I'm aware.
I do like some of their pieces. I love Zach Mercer.
Yeah.
I can't wait for him to get more game time. Allegedly, they've got some other young number eight who's going to be very, very good too. Atwood's a fine player. Charles is a fine player. I mean, they're all good, solid players. I just don't think as a team they were particularly hot last year. And, comparing their backline to the starting Leicester backline, it's just not that impressive.
Oh, that backline is impressive, I think. It's not as impressive as Leicester. Mm. But that's like saying the England backline isn't quite as impressive as the All Blacks.
Yeah, and I would also say I think the weak link for Leicester is their back row. I don't think their back row is particularly impressive. And I think potentially Leicester and Bath could have done a couple more swaps, just swapped the odd back player for a back row, and they would have evened out and made them both sides better. I think Bath are stacked with back rows, more than they probably need.
Yeah.
So, money where your mouth is. Leicester
at home.
Leicester at home, yeah. How many points, Tim?
Leicester by 9.
15. Leicester by 15.
Ooh, I think, yeah, Leicester by 7. Leicester by a score at home. And that back line to do some real damage as well.
Yeah. So we got... there you go. So that is our Leo Vegas bet of the week. Saracens v Saints.
I think Saints are going to get an absolute hiding here.
On paper, their back line... I don't know if I can remember, and I want to, again, it's, stuff isn't won on paper, because you could say this about the champions Exeter Chiefs. On paper, you wouldn't think they maybe were a champion side, but Northampton Saints backline looks bad.
Yes,
when
it does.
Look at the names on paper.
I thought you were about to say it looks really good, and I was about to about to eat your lunch then.
No, it looks bad.
I do think that Harry Mallander might be the best 12 in all of England by the end of the year.
I think in a few years he potentially could be. He's a very, very talented boy.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Luther Burrell, RC Tuala, Tom Collins have all been lining up in the back line. And some other guys that, Ben Foden, not quite the guy he was.
Yeah.
Tell me what you think about this. I can't remember where I was reading it. It might have been a fan forum. It might have been in one of the papers. But it's an interesting idea. The Northampton success was previously built on the knowledge of Jim Mallander in the England under whatever it is set up. And that's when he brought all of his players over. Burrell, Foden, all those kind of young lads, and they won the league. And since then, they've not really...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Replaced the like-for-like quality.
Interesting. I do think that they've perhaps not done the best business in the transfer market over the past few seasons.
Yeah, and it's not, no, I agree with that.
And it's not lack of cash. They made a profit, last 10 years, except for... and this year is their first ever loss.
Yeah.
Well, not first ever loss, but first loss in a long time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they seem to have got old all of a sudden, and they just don't really have any firepower.
Yeah, I kind of go with that. And their pack has been disappointing for the past couple of years, particularly considering how many names are in it, if those names do actually play.
Yeah, and this is what they used to do so well, is they used to, particularly in the front row, if you think about when they first came up, they were smashing the gain line with Brian Majority and
Tonga Weir.
Suwani Tonga Weir.
And then they went and they brought in some other beast from Australia.
Mo'afu.
Mo'afu, who played brilliantly, to be fair. Corbusiero played very, very well for him. And they were kind of almost felt like they kept on getting lucky. And now they've sort of run out of luck.
Yeah.
Without Louis Picamol, I worry for them. Although that said, they had, as you say, Ulster were the opponents, and not only did they win comfortably, I don't know how much you can read into preseason matches, not only did they win comfortably, but they played a really attacking, all-out attack kind of mentality rugby.
Well.
So they've got a new attack coach. finally he's in and settled, so maybe he's having an impact.
Who is the attack coach? Do we know?
I forgot. I've completely brain farted the name, hence I didn't say it right
now. Ah, right. Okay. Yeah, I think Saracens, after the disappointment of last year, mind you, even short of a few Lions, I don't care. They're going to absolutely annihilate them.
Yeah. The London doubleheader, the other half of the London doubleheader is Irish Quins. I think it'll be close, this one.
Yeah.
Close. So didn't the first game of last season, didn't Bristol have Quins?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
And it was very close.
But until the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, Quins snuck it in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, my guess is...
I think we could get a repeat of that.
Who do Quins play at 10? Catricalis or
Sweel?
Sweel.
Catricalis hasn't featured in pre-season, but it'll be a shootout between him and Sweel for the 10 berth.
Watch out for James Lang.
Well, he's seemingly fourth choice now because of Marcus Smith.
Who's that?
We spoke about him
the
other week.
The young lad in the England squad.
Yeah, the one that Eddie Jones described as England's fourth choice fly half.
Oh, yes, the guy you saw in Bournemouth when he was 12.
In Brighton, as a 15-year-old.
All right, well, that's the
So I've seen a few videos because Harlequins have had a few injuries. I've seen some videos of him playing in pre-season, and he does look pretty handy.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
And what's the, so we're going for Quins to edge it, but
yeah,
yes, I think so. The fired up London Irish team, they'll do well, and then Quins' quality will just take over.
Yes, agreed.
Yes, I think I agree with that one. So what's the final Premiership game? I'm trying to work it out. It's the one we have talked about, haven't we? Newcastle.
Well, JB tried to talk about it right.
No, there's one more.
Right at the start of the podcast, it's Wasps versus Sale.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I completely forgot about that.
At the Rico.
This is the sort of game where Wasps will trip up.
Is that because it's against Sale?
No, because big physical team, they'll beat them up on the gain line, and if Wasps aren't free scoring, this is how this game's going to go down. Right, it's going to be a race to 30 points, and then whichever team toughs it out will win. I think Sale will get a lot of points on the board very early doors. Either way, this is going to be a very high-scoring game. I would say it's going to be more than 40 points scored.
Wasps by 8.
I think Wasps by 15. Wasps by 2 clear scores.
Sale by 8.
Oof. I just want lots and lots of points in this one because Jimmy Goppeth doing lots of kicks for my fantasy rugby draft.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, we've been talking about fantasy rugby draft quite a lot in recent weeks. We've had loads of people asking about it on Twitter and whatnot, at Rugby Podcast, you can find us. So, should we just sort of briefly touch on this? In case, because we've had lots of people going, how do I get involved? What is it? What's the crack? What's your advice? What's your tips?
Well, basically, we'll just put up a league. They're called Stupid Names. Shall we just pin that to our Twitter profile? And when it's full, we'll put up a new league and carry on going.
Yeah, so if you want to join in, other than organising you and 9 mates...
And let's face it, a lot of our listeners don't have 9 mates.
Well, we struggled. Some of the recruits we've dragged up to get into our league...
I've never met one of the guys. It's hard. 9 rugby loving mates. Not easy.
But this says everything about it. We've had that much fun last season that so many people that previously had not wanted to bother have been asking if they can get into our league.
Yes. Exactly.
And we've had to tell them no.
Yeah. No. Closed for this year. But there are leagues you can get into from the Egg Chasers. And the one that is currently available is titled AJ... and JB's Bell.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
No apostrophes. And the password for that is Avicii, all lowercase.
Yeah.
We'll pin that to our Twitter account. So get involved if you want to.
Yeah. Yeah, so Fantasy Rugby Draft is a different type of fantasy game where you play against 9 other people, not against the whole world. And it's done in week-to-week matchups rather than you playing against everyone else. And so all you have to do is beat your opponent for that given week. And you can't have the same player as anyone else. If you pick Jimmy Gopeth, then you have Jimmy Gopeth, as I have in my team, and no one else has Jimmy Gopeth. I'll say to my 19 league mates, Jimmy Gopeth's available for a very, very, very interesting trade. Every player has a price. So what would be your sort of tip off? I would just say, forget about scrum halves, forget about locks.
They score a lot less. The most important position, fly half and outside backs.
Or JB is centres. JB's mad on his centres.
Centres that play outside backs, I believe, the way forward.
If you can get an outside back who kicks, for example, Tommy Belt.
That was a good pickup, Phil. You got him in the fifth round, was it?
It might have been after that, yeah. It was quite late.
My number one rule about fantasy sport is nobody cares to hear about your own league.
Yes, you're right. I'll shut up about that. Come and get involved and try it out.
Yes.
The buzz you'll get from doing a draft is awesome.
Let's talk about the ladies. Because the ladies... Hang on. Women? Females? I don't know. Let's
women.
The women.
It was the women's rugby.
Gentlemen, I haven't seen any rugby, so I reckon I should just leave you two to talk about this stuff. I cannot contribute anything unless you just want me to sit around and correct you when you say ladies instead of women, which I'm happy to do as well.
I thought that was your role. That was your job. Well, we've got some Pro 12 stuff later as well, so feel free to stick around, Tim.
Well, I'd say, Tim, if you've got something... if you've got some food on the table... You go and do that. Me and JB will dissect the rugby championship and the women's rugby.
En a kilo coquino, it is then.
What?
A kilo of red wine.
Oh, right. I was going to say, who does she play for?
I think it's like a tax thing. You buy stuff like olive oil and wine and stuff you buy as a kilo rather than a litre. I think so you don't pay tax on it.
Oh, there you go. Ah.
So, whatever. I'm going to get on my way and have a litre of red wine, if that's all right.
A litre?
Enjoy.
A kilo.
A kilo, yeah.
I'll let the boys play.
Let the boys play. Right, ladies, women, girls, chicks. They played this weekend, or this Friday. What was it, Friday?
Saturday.
Hell of a game.
It was a great game.
Now, what stood out for you about this?
I've watched quite a bit of the Women's World Cup, actually. It does always surprise me just how physical they are. And I know I don't mean that to sound patronising or anything like that, but particularly this New Zealand team, they were unbelievably physical.
I've got a theory.
Go on. You have lots of theories.
So my theory is, when you do your coaching badges or you get involved with the RFU, they talk about the game in a way that they, as a governing body, want you to think about it. So they say, it's not a contact sport, it's an evasion sport with contact, yada, 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 yawn, yawn, yawn. Right? And I just have a feeling that the England team came into it a little bit with that RFU mentality, because they definitely tried to play a lot of rugby. Their organisation was superb. Like, you know, the way that they moved the ball, their set pieces, the lineups were all really good. But the New Zealanders came into it, like you say, incredibly physical. I think England missed a trick. I think they were so focused on the niceties of the game that actually they missed what fundamentally it's all about, and that's beating up your opponent and getting over the gain line.
Well, it's interesting, actually, because on the gain line battle, New Zealand well and truly won that.
Hammered them.
On the set-piece battle, in particular the scrums, England hammered New Zealand. Mm. The England scrum was magnificent.
Yeah,
the penalty try, they won numerous penalties, and the penalty try that they got late on in the first half was superb.
Yeah. So are you kind of with me on the way that they... I think England just tried to overplay it, is what I'm trying to say.
I'm not sure I agree with that. I think probably the most disappointing thing for England was they are the professional team. At the time of the final, they were the professional team, but their fitness wasn't up to scratch.
No.
So they looked shattered late on in that second half. After about 60 minutes, it was New Zealand doing all the running, all the attacking. They kept the tempo high, whereas England had dropped off at that point.
How much of that is to do with just the sheer size, though? I mean, when you've got to work that hard to stop the opposition getting over the game line,
yeah,
all of a sudden you do feel unfit.
Yeah, quite possibly. There's probably a big element of that.
Who was the New Zealand winger?
Woodman is the one that
Woodman.
They, yeah.
She's electric.
Yeah, and the fullback as well who scored that.
She had a bit of a mare, actually. I mean, she did score the first try, but after that, I felt that she kind of faded out of the game a bit.
She scored the first try and the last try for New Zealand.
Mm.
They are a very good team.
Do you think the biggest difference between the women's game and the men's game is basically the stopping power on both sides? So I think the skills are pretty much there or thereabouts. The organisation is definitely there or thereabouts. But it's just the ability to stop the opposition. Because both sides, when they were carrying, they looked pretty difficult to stop. New Zealand, obviously, more than England. But I just thought that's quite interesting. And so I think maybe the men's game, I don't know what they could learn from it as such, but it made the game so much more enjoyable because there's so many more line breaks, so much more continuity. And then I immediately switched over to the South Africa game, South Africa Argentina game, which was a good game in its own right.
It was a great game, yeah.
But the sheer stopping power of the defences, it didn't have the same sort of cut and thrust.
Yeah, I know what you're saying there. Either way, very, very exciting game. Very interesting to watch as well, because the kind of ebb and flow of the game, probably up to kind of the 60th minute where New Zealand did get away with it or run away with it. The ebb and flow up to that point was very interesting to watch.
They've got a German Maori hybrid prop who scored the hat trick.
Natua.
I'm sure she's German.
Is she German?
I'm sure she's German. if someone's looking for a prop in the Aviva, they could do worse.
Well, how would she get on a Toc H level?
Pretty well.
I imagine she would.
Pretty good. So, yeah. Well, let's talk about the other game, which was on at the same time.
Yeah, I was dual screen in for kind of the second half of the women's game in the first half.
Why did you not try screen and get the top 14 in?
I'm less interested in the top 14.
I did try and watch a bit of it. It was just, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the definition they film it in. It always feels like it's filmed, you know, on one of those cameras that they film Twilight on, and they've got the miserable screen on it, so everything looks dull.
The filter,
that's it.
Yeah.
The miserable filter. And then they kind of pump in, like, the distant, dull din of horns.
Yeah.
Like those French horns. I thought, I can't watch this.
And fans booing their own team.
Yeah. And yeah, so I did try and watch that. I couldn't get through it.
I did. I've seen some of the highlights. The only interesting thing from the top 14 this week for me was the battle of the bald-headed number eights.
Yes, Carl Ferns coming out on top.
Carl Ferns beating Parise on his own back in Parise's own backyard. So he's worth that chunk of change that Leon have paid him.
He's in a team, you know, which consists of Freddie Michalak at nine, and get this for a name. Lionel Box Seeks at 10. I'd hear that name again.
He is a blast from the past.
Isn't he? But they have signed one as well. They've got Armitage at 15. I think he was around there last year. Liam Gill, who might have been one of the best players in all of the top 14 last year, is now at Leon. So
it's a handy side they're building.
Very handy side. Let's talk about the championship before we get too carried away with French rugby.
Okay. Argentina, South Africa first.
Right. This is basically a story about two players, Elton Yanchis, who I love. I think he's brilliant. But more importantly, Lavanini, who I love even more.
Well, let's talk about the positives first.
Lavanini. How is it not positive? Finally, someone with a bit of character and colour is back in the international game.
Lavanini is mental. He is absolutely mental. He's terrifying as well.
He is. Can you imagine him with a couple of beers down him?
Oh, God. A couple of glasses of Malbec.
Yeah. Look, they've said that you've had too much. You've got to go. And he just wouldn't let it go. He wouldn't leave the club.
Oh, my God.
He's one of the few men that I think, who would you like to see fight against Eben Etzebeth? And you think, Lavanini.
Yeah.
That'd be a cracking matchup.
Yeah. Because he's pretty much as big, if not
Yeah.
Possibly even slightly
and
bigger.
He's the same kind of athletic build as well, isn't he?
Yeah. He looks very strange. Do you see when he took his... Because he wears his scrum
yes.
cap. And he's got that thick moustache.
And the beak nose.
Yeah. But then he took his scrum cap off and this mop of like jet black hair. Incredibly...
He's an evil-looking man.
Yeah, he's an incredible-looking bloke. But he... So, there's two parts. So, he got a red card for two separate yellow cards.
Although, I think the second one could have been a red card in itself. Almost.
I think the first one could have been a red card in itself.
Was that knocking down the ball?
No. The second one was the slap down for the, what would have been Khaleesi's third try.
Yes.
The first one was... He's got form on this as well. He did this to Nathan Hughes in the England game, which is the torpedo tackle at the knee. So a no-arms torpedo tackle at
right.
the knees. Now, the one he did against Nathan Hughes was worse, in my opinion, because that was the back of a ruck. But they're both very, very bad. Oh, sorry, it was the back of a maul, the Nathan Hughes one. But this one was no-arm torpedo tackle at Connie Oosthuizen's kneecaps, basically.
Oh, sorry, Karen. I actually thought that we stopped recording then.
Okay.
Yeah, so but then it all jumped up and developed into a bit of a scuffle.
So there was a minor scuffle there. He got a yellow card, which I think that could have been a red card, but yellow card there. And then the second one was interesting because there was a scuffle on the ball that was going on for like a good minute, and then the touch judge seemed to separate that scuffle, and then Lavanini finally got back into his line. South Africa had an overlap, and he just slapped the ball out of the air.
So,
10 yards from his own line.
Argentina are in real trouble, I think, because they don't have the option to change things up. They've said they're only going to pick Argentine-based players.
Yeah,
they've got these bunch of guys who are living the life in Jaguares, but aren't performing.
They've gone backwards.
Yeah, 100%.
This was the team that was World Cup semi-finalist 2 years ago, and since then have seemingly imploded.
I think it's because they haven't got enough underneath. They need at least two teams.
Yeah.
So Ireland pretty much operate with two teams, don't they? Munster and Leinster.
And
yeah. Yeah. Sure. I mean, they play as well. but you know, it's quite regular. You can see an Ireland team made up primarily of those two. Yeah.
Yeah.
And to be fair, it happens. You know, pretty much everywhere. Jaguars or Jaguares are the only team to draw from. So if they're playing poorly, you're playing poorly.
Yeah.
I don't know where they're drawing their players from.
And they are playing poorly. Yeah, there is a semi-pro league in Argentina below that, but it's a big drop-off.
Mm. Just a little Argentina fact for you. Apparently they've got the best best amateur cup competition in the world, standard-wise, around Buenos Aires. And it's massive, apparently.
Well, Buenos Aires is a big city, isn't it?
Mm,
One other complaint, so Lavanini is a negative for that game. One other negative, the posts weren't high enough. The posts were like half regulation size posts.
I didn't even notice it.
So the number of kicks where you watch it, like, has that gone over? Is that close? I just can't tell.
Yeah, and for the sake of what, £3.50 to get a bit of plastic piping?
A slightly longer post. the positives for this game, so Yanti's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Sia Khaleesi.
He's really some player, isn't he?
He scored two tries. He would have had a third, but for that red card for Lavanini. He did give a forward pass for Curtsy, the fullback. So he could have had a hat-trick and an assist, but ignoring that forward pass, he was brilliant. He was everywhere. His work rate is phenomenal. His carrying's superb. He's just a brilliant all-round player.
He is, isn't he? A good leader, too.
Yeah, because has captained the Stormers.
Well, South Africa didn't play particularly well, and they won, in the end, by quite a lot. So
yeah,
it tells you something about them. I don't think they're playing particularly well. So when I'm watching them, and this South African team are my great hope to beat the All Blacks this year.
Yeah, I think they're they certainly are the only hope now.
Yeah. I don't know, they don't seem dangerous, quite dangerous enough. I know they've won by a big margin, but there seems to be an extra level that they need to hit. I don't think what's his name? Jan Serfontein? Have I got that right?
Jan Serfontein.
Him. I don't think he's quite good enough, but he seems like a bit of a placeholder anyway. The set piece is fairly good.
The set piece is very good. So that's the most impressive thing for me of the last two games. They've played Argentina, who, for all their faults, and they have many, they do have an exceptional set piece. And the box have been comfortably on top in both games. And the set piece and their, as I mentioned before, their exit plays, their decision making, some of that has been really, really first rate. And that's, if you want to have any chance of beating the All Blacks, you've got to have that right on
get
point.
Get your basics done first.
And yeah, South Africa have that. And they do have some exciting backs. Kurtzey, the fullback, the two wingers, Rule and Skozan, and Jesse Creel when he gets going as well.
Yeah, very, very exciting player.
So, yeah, they are. They're certainly, 2 years ago when they lost to Japan, they're certainly a much better team.
Last
and last
year they lost to...
Italy,
didn't they?
They did lose to Italy, in November. Yeah, it was only November.
So, I want them to be good. I want them to be good so desperately. I just don't quite believe they can do it yet. They're still a couple of years away.
I would agree with that, but I think they're building up nicely. Then the other game. Talking about teams you want to be good.
It's so conflicting, isn't it? I don't want either of these teams to be good. But yeah, I do. So I don't want Australia to be bad. Yeah, there's something satisfying about the heartbreaking loss. I mean, maybe that's the best incarnation of an Australian team. It's been really, really good, but still losing.
Well, so let's talk about Australia. The first 40 minutes they put in, or 48 minutes they put in last week, was appalling.
Right. So I look at it like this. They've lost two games. But actually, over, 1 hour and 20 minutes, they've comfortably beat the All Blacks.
Yeah.
If you take away the first 40 minutes.
If you take away that first 40 minutes, yeah.
Having said that, I'll also add that I thought their first three tries this weekend were lucky.
Now, there is an element of luck, but I kind of feel with those first three tries, with all of their scores, the look was created by the pressure they put on the All Blacks, and that their defence was so markedly improved to what it was last week. It was almost unrecognisable, the work rate, the kind of sportsmanship, the bond that they had in defence compared to that first 40 minutes.
Yeah, but it's just the same old, same old. I'm getting bored of, like, oh, the lads did so well. Yeah, you lost.
Well, no. Recently with Australia, it's not been the lads have done so well. The lads have been awful.
But it is this time round. And for a nation that's so comfortable with winning, or used to be so comfortable with winning, this shouldn't be good enough. You know,
no.
In some ways, it's even more disappointing than getting hammered, because they had it.
But
they had it.
It's the improvement. Yeah, they had it. They were 17-0 up, but that was in New Zealand against the All Blacks. And it's the improvement for me. The improvement from that first 40 minutes is massive. Most of it, so we know they've got a good attack. They're building on the good attack. Genia and Foley looked different players to what they were, certainly at the start of last week. And Beale has come back and slotted in really nicely.
Do you know what it is? And I hate to point out one person, because one person isn't the team. But since Karevi has stopped playing, I mean, it's really...
he played 50 minutes last week.
Yeah. And then he was dragged off for Kieran Drawney, who is, by a country mile, a better player. I mean, it's night and day, the difference between the two. And it is silly to point out one player as the difference, but what a difference. It is. It's undeniable.
See, I actually think that the difference is more the playmakers rather than Kieran Drawney and Karevi. The way they use them, they're big, strong, quick, can step. But it's more Foley, Beale, Genia. It's the work that they're doing.
I tell you what as well. McMahon, who got hammered the week before,
he played well.
He really put in a shift, to be fair to him.
Yeah.
And you look at who's opposite, Kieran Reid.
Yeah.
Mind you, Kieran Reid for that in the involvement in that last try.
Oh my God.
How do you? The Lions got a draw. That doesn't really count as stopping it, does it?
So that last 15 minutes, or last 20 minutes, the tries there, where it was yo-yoing, So New Zealand score 71 minutes to go in front. New Zealand score 61 minutes to go in front. Wilgenia pulls one back 67 minutes to put them in front. Then Ben Smith scores the New Zealand try. That was the one after, was it 22 phases?
Yes, it was.
And they just patiently built and built and built. So that's 71 minutes. Then Australia go all the way down the pitch and Kirtley Beal crashes over 76 minutes. And you're like, I've seen this before. I know this storyline. I know what happens. And
away they go.
New Zealand, they do their usual split kickoff. Ball just goes over the 10-metre line. They get up for it, tap it back. New Zealand have the ball 30 yards out from Australia's try line. And three phases later, including some of the best interplay by a forward who's just come onto the pitch, Scotty Barrett and Kieran Reid and TJ Perenara and Bowden Barrett to go under the sticks. That was...
It's boring.
It was unbelievable.
It's boring. I don't know how... Did you think they've kind of reinvented the wheel again with the second row play?
No. I think they're just using... So they've got someone like Scott Barrett.
But they've got Scott Barrett, haven't they? They've got the two starters in Retallick and Whitelock.
They don't have the handling skills that Scott Barrett does.
Well, so they have good, they do, though, don't they?
No, they have good handling skills, but Scott Barrett can play like a back. You could probably slot him into the centre.
Yeah, but how often do you see those second rows at first receiver with a guy inside of them?
They do the first receiver rule, but it's not the same. They'll do the nice textbook catch and pass. So catch, arms out in front of you, across your body, pass. They'll do that. They won't do what Scott Barrett did, which was hit the line at full pelt, half take contact, and then offload at full pelt.
When did he learn that from?
Must run in the family.
Yeah, must have. I don't know with these New Zealanders, these tricky New Zealanders. If there's only a way that both these teams could lose, I'd be very happy. But there we go.
Now, so I've just been flicking through the stats. Israel Folau, unsurprisingly, 139 metres made, two clean breaks, two defenders beaten. A considerable amount of that was his intercept try in the first minute, to be fair. Now, I flicked onto this thinking... Rico Ioane had a reasonably quiet game. I know he scored the try, but he crashed over from 2 yards. His stats, so 122 metres made, very good, comfortably the most for the New Zealand team. Three clean breaks, then 10 defenders beaten.
He is some player. I mean, it's his pace, isn't it? It's every time he gets on the ball, he looks so much faster than everyone else.
Yeah.
And that outside break, you can get just sort of ghosts between two players, and he's gone.
Yeah.
Frightening. I mean, when he grows up, providing he doesn't... I always think, like, what is the future for a guy like that in the professional era? Because the temptation is to get him in the gym and get him bigger, but just maybe just leave him.
Yeah, I mean, how much... He's 20 years old.
He's built like a rake.
He's not that skinny.
I think he is.
Let's have a look. He's not Julian Surveyor. He's not a rake, though.
Oh, well, I don't know.
102 kg rake.
Maybe not, then. And how and how tall is he?
6'2". 102 kg.
That's the same size as me. it's 2 kg lighter than me. And we're very... I'm very different builds.
Different pace.
Different pace, yeah. Do different jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
So, right, well, there you go. So, who's playing this weekend? Who are the internationals in the championship, or do they have a week off?
It is a week off. Then it's New Zealand travel to Argentina, Australia host South Africa.
That'd be a great test to see where those two teams are.
Australia, South Africa, yeah. And probably in Australia is the better place to have it first time around as well.
Will you be rooting for South Africa? Because I know I will.
Probably, yeah.
So my theory here is, if South Africa had just been beaten twice by the All Blacks, and it wasn't Australia who'd been beaten twice by the All Blacks, I'd be rooting for Australia, because I want the better team to go on and then beat the All Blacks.
Yeah.
Anyone but the All Blacks.
Yeah. Yeah, New Zealand to get some momentum. Sorry, South Africa to get some momentum to go into the New Zealand game would be very good.
There you go. Right, okay, so that's that. Shall we wrap this up?
Well, do you want to quickly run through the Pro 12, oh, Pro God. 14 fixtures?
Oh, God, we'd be lynched if we didn't. Go on.
Right, so Friday night, the season kicks off. Cardiff Blues host Edinburgh.
Cardiff Blues. Cardiff Blues started very strong last year. I think they've actually got a pretty decent squad. And at home, and a plastic pitch. And they'll be hoping to do something, building on some promise they had last year.
I think Cardiff beat Exeter as well in pre-season.
Did they?
Yeah. So, if they can get that form. So, give me Cardiff at home. Nice kits as well, Cardiff.
Have they gone back to their blue?
They've got three options, I think. Blue, yellow, and then a pinky one.
They've still got the... Oh, I hate the pink one. I hate it with passion.
Next game, Munster-Treviso.
Right, okay.
Then, interesting, Friday night at Ravenhill, Ulster host the Cheetahs.
Now, for the good of the competition, I hope the Cheetahs are good.
Yeah, I agree.
They've made such progress in the Pro 12 in making this a really good competition. And yeah, they're slowly sorting out the Dragons with Bernard Chapman, and they're slowly sorting out the Australians. The Italians are still rubbish, but actually, the home nation teams are pretty decent.
Yeah,
they've now bought in these South African teams, and if they're not good, they've let everyone down. I mean, it could be the making of the Pro 12, but equally, it could be a disaster.
It's an interesting, let's call it an experiment for now.
I don't know who's going to win. I'm going to assume it's Ulster.
I'm certainly hoping it's going to be Ulster. Then, Saturday, Ospreys host Zebre.
Do you know what? We're going to have a horribly rude awakening, aren't we, if these two terrible teams from Super Rugby, who we're laughing at not so long ago, just come over and rule the roost.
Yeah, I know.
The Southern Kings walk into Munster and give them a good hiding.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Well, so, Ospreys host Zebre. Ospreys win. Dragons host Leinster. Leinster win. Scarlets, last season's champions, host the Southern Kings.
Ooh.
So that will be interesting.
Yeah, it will be.
Give me Scarlets, yep. It'll be two interesting markers there. So Kings going to Scarlets and Cheetahs going to Ulster. It will be a good test for both of them to see where the league is and where they sit in it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
And the final game, Connacht host Glasgow. Which, that will be an interesting game.
I like this matchup because it has some real history to it now.
Yeah, a couple of seasons ago.
Yeah, so if you've just tuned into rugby, these two faced off, last season in the semis?
No, two seasons ago. Last season.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So they had a right back and forth, and then eventually Connacht dispatched them in the semi-finals, and then they kicked off the next season as the first game, and Glasgow absolutely hammered them.
Yeah. So
It's a good fixture.
And Glasgow under Dave Rennie will be interesting to watch.
Well, I've been up to Glasgow. I can tell you now, they are a top-notch outfit.
Yeah.
You don't need me to tell you that. You can watch them play. But they're well-constructed, they're a well-balanced team, and they're extremely well-coached.
So that it's a tough place to go over to Connacht, but I think Glasgow can do that.
Mm. Let's wrap it up now. Let's go home.
That's a good idea.
Cool.
Game of Thrones time.
Oh God, it is, isn't it? Ooh. Right. So if you want to get involved and join in the conversation, find us on Twitter. We're at Rugby Podcast. We've also got some Instagram if you're a kid, and you can find our Facebook page as well. Right. Well, when we return next week, we'll be in season 4, our fourth year of doing this.
Wow.
So wherever you are this weekend, enjoy your rugby. Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.